When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Rob Long with Martini Shot for The Ankler. I was talking to a writer the other day who has written a wonderful script. He's sort of an unknown writer, so he did the smart entrepreneurial thing and he wrote it on spec. That is, he just carved out some time in his busy day and sat in one place, and over the course of several weeks, he turned out a very funny, smart, fresh pilot script. It's about a family, so it's not radical or edgy material, but the execution is top-notch. The characters are funny and fresh, the dialogue is smart and true, and all in all, it's a very winning piece of work. So winning, in fact, that I immediately attached myself to it as a producer, which means that I will get a small taste of whatever sugar comes his way on this, all for remarkably small effort. Memo to agents and managers, you are not the only people who have figured this out. So a week or so ago, as we were talking, the writer said something alarming. He said, I've actually written the second episode, which I told him, this is a rookie mistake. You never write for free. You never write for free. I mean, obviously, you do. You have to sometimes. So I guess I understand the writer's confusion, because in general, no one likes to do anything for free. We all want to get compensated. But when you're just starting out, before you've got a reputation and a list of credits, you're pretty much stuck with writing on spec for free, in other words. You see, the worst thing a writer can hear when they've just told someone what they're working on, or even more awkwardly, actually just pitched the project, is this. I'd love to read that script. Send it to me when it's done. Because that means that, you know, one, the script hasn't been written, and two, the person you're talking to is not going to pay you to write it. And the key to being a successful Hollywood writer is getting people to pay you to write something before you have written it. And then, of course, later to find someone else to pay you again after you've written it once and it didn't move forward. But look, we can get all artsy about it, I guess, but the truth is, the way most writers approach a writing project is they ask themselves this question. What's the least amount of writing I can do before someone will write me a check? Meaning, as I gather up my little fragments of creativity, the setting, the theme, a couple of great characters, an exciting plot, at what point can I present what I've got and get someone to give me, you know, some money for it? So it all comes down to that question, spec or pitch. Now, the very least amount of writing, obviously, is the pitch. You go in with some notes, you talk, you tell a story, you give the basic outlines. It's not really even what economists might call a work product. It's more like a promise. A work promise. I promise to write roughly what I just talked about if you give me some money. Now, some writers like the technique of writing a treatment first, which to me has always seemed like a total waste of time. I mean, a pitch I get, but a treatment, that's already a bunch of pages and character descriptions and possible story areas. Well, you know, at that point, you're just better off writing the whole script. You've lost the sight of the beauty of the pitch, which is no actual writing. Sometimes, though, the very best thing is just to go ahead, just jump, just write the script on spec, called spec for speculative, which is the real drawback, obviously, to writing on spec, that nobody is paying you, and worse, nobody even asked for the script. You see, people in the television business like to ask for scripts. They even like to pay for scripts, because people in the television business know exactly what they want and precisely what they need. So when you go in to pitch an idea, the smart strategy is to pitch something that you know they're looking for. You know, more or less. But if your idea is a little dark or hard to explain or not exactly what they all talked about at the development team off-site retreat in Laguna Beach or Santa Barbara or somewhere, maybe the best thing to do is just to write it, as awful as that sounds. Still, spec scripts get bought all the time. Some have even turned into famous hits. Everyone in this business likes reading a great, smart, offbeat, surprising script, but not many people like hearing this in a pitch. All of the characters are dying. They're all terminal. But, you know, the tone is light. It's fun. It's like Frasier. It is not depressing the way I am going to do it. Because the way I'm going to do it can't ever compete with the way I did it. I'll send you the PDF. So for a whole lot of good reasons, mostly, many projects just have to be spec'd. If you're an unknown writer, or even if you're known, but for a different genre, it makes sense to sit down and just bang it out yourself. Also, if the idea is bad, well, not bad, but complicated enough or vague enough or has been done enough times that whoever you pitch it to, your agent, the network, the guy who has attached himself to you like a producer, that person will get that glazed, bored look on his face and say something diplomatic like, "This is an area people have been trying to get right for a while," or, "I'll send you some examples of this kind of area from the 6 or 7 unsold pilots from last year that touched on these themes," followed quickly by something like, "I mean, I guess this feels to me like an execution challenge. I mean, how do you make it different? I mean, I know it will be, obviously, once it's written, so maybe this feels like a spec?" All of which really means that no one is going to pay you to write this, which isn't the same thing as the script isn't going to get sold, because an actual script, bound with the proper format, with interesting characters and smart dialogue and a fresh-feeling approach to traditional themes, well, that's exactly what everybody wants to read, especially if it's funny. I mean, if it's supposed to be funny, that is. But what everyone wants to get pitched is something grabby and sharp and with a hook, something that what they call is undeniable, something that can be boiled down into a 2-sentence concept summary and passed around the development team via email or IM. So it's a strange situation where the kind of project that makes a successful pitch is often the kind of project that just fades away when you write it. And yes, this seems irrational and suggests that maybe the entire show business should be run in a different way, but don't hold your breath. So even if you sell the pitch, of course, you still eventually have to write the script. And at that point, it won't be evaluated based on how concepty and hooky it is, but it will be evaluated on its execution, the dialogue, the characters, the fresh feeling approach to traditional themes, etc. And the script, when it comes in, will come in many weeks after the pitch, by which point the glow and excitement of that snappy concept hook will have faded. And the script will be evaluated by people who have forgotten how amazing that 20 minutes was back all those many months ago. And also, the way things go in show business these days, the people who buy the pitch aren't the people who decide ultimately to produce the script. Those people just pull a script out of the maybe pile and read it like it's a brand new thing they never heard of, which it often is. So, the young writer asked me, no matter what, if you pitch it, if you spec it, you're always basically writing everything on spec. I mean, you're always proving yourself with your material, just sometimes you get paid a little bit up front. Exactly, I said. The guy's a fast learner. I almost feel guilty skimming my producer's fee. Well, almost. I mean, it beats writing. A few years ago, I went to Costa Rica with a friend of mine, a lawyer who wanted to write a novel, or there any other kind, and we met in San Jose, and we drove a few hours west, and we parked ourselves at a small beach hotel for 10 straight days of writing. On the first day, he woke up, grabbed a cup of coffee, sat down at his computer, and just started writing. I went swimming and ate Fig Newtons. On the second day, he started early again and would have worked straight through the day if I hadn't dragged him into town with me to sit in the shade and drink beer. So on the third day, we sort of repeated the first day, except that I added cashews to the Fig Newtons and my friend sat farther away from me. On the fourth day, I turned on my computer. On the fifth day, I met some Australian backpackers and bummed around with them. And then on the sixth day, I searched everywhere for Wi-Fi so I could send emails. And on the seventh day, I organized the final draft document on my computer and I ate cashews and I sat quietly staring at a lizard on the wall. Now, on the eighth, finally, virtuoso day, I ate cashews and Fig Newtons and drank beer and talked to the Australians and drove into town and used the Wi-Fi and went swimming. So I was too exhausted on the ninth day to do anything but pack. So on the tenth day, as we waited for our plane, I read my friend's novel, the one he wrote. And I explained to him that the only reason he could actually sit down and write a novel in 10 days was because he was not a professional writer. Which makes sense, only if you don't think about it. And that's it for this week. Next week, we'll tell ourselves that everything will be clear after the first of the year. But you know it won't. For The Ankler, this is Rob Long with Martini Shot.